grace, mercy, and peace to you all from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
One of my... Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for gathering us all to hear your word. May your Holy Spirit descend upon us and fill our hearts with your joy, with your gladness. Father, may we cherish these words in our hearts, and may we live in such a way where our neighbors can see that there's something different about us. They can see that you dwell in us. We pray this for your glory, Father, not for our own. In Jesus' name,
amen.
One of my favorite things about being a dad, I mean, other than having two wonderful children, is dad jokes. Why do they call them seagulls? Because if they flew over the bay, they'd be bagels. One of my favorite things to do at Lego, and I've been able to go twice now with my son, is the boat ride. Because the boat ride is filled with dad jokes. My favorite one is, and I'm sure if you've been there, you've heard this, so you can feel free to chime in. But one of my favorite ones is, what do you call it when your waffles fall in the dirt? San Diego? All right. I tried these jokes out on my dog this morning, and I said, how did I do? And he said, rough. Jesus said, those of you who weep, you will laugh. He said that in the sermon on the plain, in our text this morning. And so I'm going to tell you a real story, one that is wonderful and one that is also funny. There was a blessed lady, her name was Helene Wilcox, and she lived in a retirement home in a town called in a town outside of Exeter in California. And she suffered from Alzheimer's disease. And I would go and I would take Holy Communion to her. I would try to go at least once a month. And thanks be to God, even though she had never known me before Alzheimer's, she at least could recognize that this guy, when he shows up, she gets the Lord's Supper. And one day, she just seemed that there was something a little bit different about her. She still asked him the same questions over and over again, which is perfectly natural and fine. But she starts to say, Pastor, I was looking in the mirror today, and I thought to myself, Helene, you're getting old. I saw all my gray hair, and I just thought, Helene, you're getting old. And of course, not really knowing what to say, but wanting to comfort her, I said, Helene, you know that in the book of Proverbs, King Solomon wrote, and it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, that gray hair is a crown of splendor. And she smiles real quick. Kind of this knowing, witty smile, and she leans back and she says, really? Does the Bible have anything to say about wrinkles? She is now sainted. She is, well, I should say, we're not Catholics, we're Lutherans. She is now fully saint, no longer saint. She is with our Lord Jesus Christ. And I told that story to her daughters before the funeral. And they said, Pastor, please include that in her funeral. And yes, it got the same exact reaction. Everybody at that sad time laughed. And yet, in this same sermon, Jesus does something very interesting. At the seminary, they tell us law, gospel preaching. Jesus, he gives us gospel, and then he goes into the law. Because he says, woe to you who laugh now, because you will mourn. What's Jesus saying here? Are we all in trouble because we laughed at a few bad dad jokes? Are we condemned because this afternoon we're going to be watching some, hopefully some funny Super Bowl commercials, right? What is Jesus getting at in this text today? Let's unpack that a little bit. So it starts out, and it says in Luke 6, verse 17, Jesus came down with them, his disciples, and he stood on a level place. So this is not the mountaintop. So yes, while it is very similar to the Sermon on the Mount, this is actually a different sermon in a different location. And a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. I know that in the context of what is going on in the life of our congregation here. Yes, that's a wonderful thing to say. It's almost kind of interesting as the new guy here to say our congregation, right? Because now I'm a part of it. As of yesterday, I guess we're finding out right now what the installation took, right? So, our congregation. One of these things that is happening is that I'm the new guy. I'm the new pastor. And I know there's like there's a lot of hopes and there's a lot of anticipation, and you know, I've heard, oh great, you're a young pastor, that means that we're going to get more young people in here, and it's so wonderful, and you know, yeah, I hope we get lots of people, not just young people, but lots of people. But even then, are we just here to just gain people? No, we're here to glorify God, right? What's interesting is my vicarage supervisor said something that just is really sticking out to me right now at this point in time. He spent 15 years in his first call. His name is Pastor Wayne Huebner. When I was his vicar, which is a fancy word for pastor intern, in Salem Lutheran Church in a suburb of St. Louis, he told me, Joel, I was in my first call for 15 years. They still treated me sometimes like I was fresh out of the seminary and had no idea what was going on for 15 years. Because I've been here a year and they act like I know everything. Yes, I'm 5.5 years in, so I'm not the perfect ripe age of a pastor. Everybody desires a pastor who is in their 20s and who has 30 years experience. They don't exist. But yes, I'm in my 30s and I've got 5.5 years of experience. And while there might be a little bit of rust today because it's been about a month since I've done this, and yes, there's a little bit of the first time jitters too. Man, we're getting a guy who's seasoned, right? Seasoned people still are flawed and make errors. Seasoned pastors still forget to put water in the font before their own daughter gets baptized. We read that section of scripture where all these people are multitudes of people are coming to Jesus. He's gaining popularity in his ministry right now. They're coming to be healed of their diseases. They're having trouble with unclean spirits, and he's curing them. You know, I've never had someone with leprosy come to me. I've never touched their leprous face and instantly had seen leprosy heal off their face with my own hands. Not saying that God can't do that, but the point that I'm trying to make is, I am not Jesus, right? I have been called to be a pastor and to share his word. I am flawed, I am imperfect, and I need his grace, just as all of you do as well. I'm not going to pretend that it was me and me alone who made Helene Wilcox, in her battle against Alzheimer's, have that really good day and tell that really funny joke, which I will always cherish. That joke that her children will always cherish, that was shared at the funeral. A time where God allowed them to laugh in a time of great sorrow. Jesus did that. Jesus did that. I can't make you laugh when you are weeping. If you're hungry, I probably could buy you lunch. But don't make a habit of it, because there's a lot of you. But when you are in need, when you are poor, when you are hungry, in times of weeping, and when people even hate you, because yes, people do hate us on account of the gospel, I am here to point you to the one who can heal you. I am here to point you to the one who can tell you, even when you feel dirty and unclean and ashamed of yourselves, I am here to tell you and remind you that because of what Jesus Christ has done, you are clean. And you are forgiven. And there's nothing that you can take to me that would surprise me. Because I know what it is like to feel dirty, filthy, and unclean. But I also know the great joy of knowing that I am forgiven because of what Jesus Christ has done. And it is my great pleasure and privilege as a pastor to get to remind you of that, not just on Sundays, but on any day of the week that you might need to call on me. What a joy it is to be able to point you to Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him and his love for all of us. So I guess we are included. But it's about Jesus first and foremost. Now about this law thing. There are going to be times where a sermon is going to be preached from these lips. And as President Gibson, Pastor Gibson preached about Isaiah yesterday at the installation service, and the man of unclean lips having that warm iron from the angel cleanse his lips. Right? There's going to be times where we're going to hear statements of law. What is Jesus doing? Here we're first promised that if we weep, we're going to laugh. But here he says, "But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. And woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." What is Jesus doing here? There are times where we hear God's word, and and we hear that law, and I want you to know something. The Sermon on the Plain especially, it gets right here, and it's like a holy punch to the gut. Because, I'll let you know a little secret. I've won the lottery. And you have too. We live in the United States of America. We are blessed materially beyond all imagination compared to what some of the nations have. We are rich in the material things. And so, Jesus is giving us this reminder, this holy hello. Are you sharing this with those who are not as rich as you are? Are you being generous with the gifts that I've given you? And it's the same thing with those who are full now. Doesn't Jesus care if we're hungry? Absolutely. Aren't two of his miracles about feeding people? The feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000? Aren't we about to partake in a holy meal where we consume his very body and blood for the forgiveness of sins? So being fed is not bad at all. But again, are we sharing with those who are hungry? There are times where laughter is healing, where laughter is fun, where there's joyous occasions. But there's times, too, where the most wicked thing we possibly could do is laugh at our neighbor. We are not to laugh in others' despair. We are not to laugh out of false earthly promises. And while certainly some of us need to hear words of affirmation, if people speak well of us for doing evil, we are on the wrong path. And so what Jesus is doing here, he's not saying, don't eat. He's not saying, don't laugh. He's not saying, don't use the fruits of your labor and buy things. But he's saying, share them. And let me just remind you not to love the gifts more than the one who has given them to you. The whole point of the law, right? This is a second use of the law statement. This whole statement makes us all go, oh boy. It makes us take an account of how we are living. Guess what? When we fail, we get to look to the cross. Because we are forgiven. Please remember that when I preach, I'm not just preaching to you, but God's word, it convicts me. And God's gospel that comes after that conviction, it heals me. Just as God's law convicts you, and God's law convicts me, and the gospel heals all of us, right? So, I am not Jesus, right? But I will gladly point you to him. I hope that you will trust me to be with you in your worst moments to bring you comfort. And I hope that you will allow me to be with you in times of great joy, to laugh with you, and to celebrate with you. And yes, to look for those moments where God can help us to laugh, even through times of trial, and struggle, and sorrow. It is actually a good and wise thing to be able to laugh. When I was being interviewed by your call committee here, one of the questions that I was asked towards the end was, what is something that I am working on? And understand, COVID was something that has hit us all, and just how we handled it as the church, and how some of the things that were going on in my previous congregation. It was hard to laugh for a while there. It was really tough to laugh. And I was reading through Proverbs, and of course I came to this section of scripture, and it's Proverbs 31. And everybody kind of knows, you know, the church, when they organize the Bible now, they added the numbers, and they added little paragraph statements to tell you kind of a summary of what you're about to read. And there's that part in Proverbs 31 that says, a wife of noble character. And so, ladies, you probably know this, and you're like, man, I hate this part of Scripture because I can't ever live up to it. And then you're probably like thinking, boy, my wife does not live up to this. That's not the point. Proverbs is broken up into the being wise is God's wisdom is like being married to the good woman. And falling into folly is going after the woman who's the homewrecker. So being married, this isn't about necessarily how wives are supposed to carry themselves, but it's about how we're all supposed to conduct ourselves and what our lives will be like, hopefully, most of the time, if we are married to God's wisdom. And there is something that stuck out to me in that verse. It says, she, wisdom, she stands dignified. Dignity is her garments. And she laughs at the days to come. And so I told the call committee that I'm working on laughing at the days to come. Because if God is in control, if God is over all things, and if our Savior loves us and forgives us, and everything is covered, we've got nothing to worry about. I told him that. And then I came to visit. And I went and used your restroom over there. And I saw that same verse on a painting. She cloaks herself in dignity, and she laughs at days to come. And I thought, whoa. Speak, God, your servant is listening. Jesus allows us right now, because he reigns on the throne, to laugh at the days to come. May we grow together in Christ's love, and may we grow together laughing because Christ is our Savior. Amen?
Amen.
May the peace of God which surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds and keep them from now until life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.